Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is Mark 10, verse 2, where it is written these words, "And the Pharisees came up in order to test Jesus, asked, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?'" Now, I know I've been here once before, but for those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Ray Holman. I come from Fort Wayne. I drove 3.5 hours here yesterday, right through the Ohio State game to get here. And currently I'm doing some doctorate of ministry work through through Vanderbilt University, who happened to beat the University of Alabama yesterday in football, so I'm also really excited about that. But that's neither here nor there. I have spent 10 years in ministry. For about 7 years, I spent in small congregations in Kansas and Southern Illinois, allowing me to get to know the people on a very intimate level. Then, after taking about a 10-month break to take care of my own personal health, I served for about 2 years as a high school theology teacher at a very small Lutheran high school in Southern Illinois. And now, as of this past Friday, I am going on 1 year of being a hospice chaplain for a medical agency in Northeast Indiana. And as you heard last time, I've been a pastor for 10 years, and I knew Pastor Wilson back when we were at seminary. He lived just down the hall from me during my first year. So you can imagine that in my 10 years of ministry, I have heard a lot of hard questions. And I remember distinctly one piece of advice that a seminary professor gave to us when we were asked hard questions. He gave it to us in our first semester, or the first quarter of seminary. He said, "If somebody asks you a hard question, don't answer it right away. Instead, encourage us to ask the question, 'Why do you ask?' before giving our answer." The reason I bring this up is because I remember one time when I was teaching in that small Lutheran high school about the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and I was teaching a small freshman theology class. At first, we established the conceptual framework that is sinful to break the law of your parents, and then we further established that God gave the government to function as our parents in this world that we live in. Then I veered into the world of application. I said, if the government functions as our parents, is it illegal to go 75 miles an hour down a 55 mile an hour road? They all assented. Then I brought it down a little bit. Is it a sin to go 65 miles an hour down a 55 mile an hour road? Some of the freshmen tried to weasel their way out of the question by trying to come up with valid excuses. Then I took it one step further. Is it a sin to go 56 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone? Take a moment to think about that yourself. At this point, the class was equally divided. And the students tried to give all sorts of reasons why it would be permissible to go over the speed limit. In fact, I remember one student in particular, I'll just call him Robert for the sake of the argument. Robert came up to me and he said, "Pastor Holman, if I were to be married and my wife were 9 months pregnant and in labor, and I was 45 minutes from the hospital, would it be permissible for me to speed to get there? And the Pharisees came up in order to test Jesus, asked him, "Is it lawful?" The Pharisees were testing and tempting Jesus. They were trying to trap him in his own words, much like my students were trying to trap me in my words on that one day in class. In fact, that phrase, "Is it lawful?" is probably better translated as, "Is it permissible?" Simply said, the Pharisees were trying to find their way to get out of following God's law. Now, Jesus, being fully God, could see right through the question. And he does better than my seminary professor did. He doesn't ask, "Now, why did you ask?" Although it would be interesting to wonder what the Pharisees would have said if he asked that question. Instead, Jesus asks them a harder question. He makes them come up with their own defense. He says, "What did Moses command you?" The Pharisees go by giving an answer. Interestingly, though, the Pharisees don't go to the sixth commandment about thou shalt not commit adultery. Instead, they go to a law that was written 40 years later. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, in that passage, Moses says that it is permissible for divorce to happen if a husband finds some indecency in his wife. But interestingly, the Pharisees don't even mention that part about some indecency. By the way, indecency here is probably something to the effect of she committed a sexual sin herself. It's not that he didn't like the way that she looked. So the Pharisees come up with a blanket statement. They say, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." But Jesus isn't satisfied with this response. So he goes back further than right on the cusp of being in the promised land. He goes back further than being right at Mount Sinai where they hear God's clear command. He goes back all the way to the beginning of creation, the sixth day of creation. In verses 6 through 9 of our gospel text, Jesus says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate." Here, Jesus makes the point abundantly clear, and it is really hard to hear, especially in our culture today. Divorce, for any reason at all, is sin. God's intention was not that man and woman would separate from themselves, but rather that they would be intimately intertwined, having a lifetime bond. And any other relationship than this is sin. Now, about 20 years after Jesus makes this statement about sin, we know what happened to Jesus, obviously. Jesus goes on from here. He dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. The church spreads out throughout all of the Roman world, and Paul goes off and he starts preaching to various churches. And in one particular church in the city of Corinth, there were some people who thought that they knew better than Jesus about adultery and divorce. Apparently, some of these people in the city of Corinth kind of took the words of the Pharisees to heart. They said among themselves, in regards to sexuality, all things are lawful. Or, perhaps better stated, all things are permissible because I am free from the condemnation of sin in Christ Jesus. Because I can be forgiven of my sins, I can do whatever I want. Everything I can do, I can even divorce my wife and marry somebody else because everything is lawful to me. But Paul stops this advice. He quotes the Corinthians who said this. He says, all things are lawful for me. And then he gives his own advice. But not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things build up. The reason I bring this up is because we too are entrapped by the thinking of the Pharisees and the thinking of the Corinthians. As people who have been brought up listening to and hearing and confessing the words of the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer since we were little children, we know what God expects of us. But how often do we try to trap Jesus in his words and make excuses for our sins? I know that God's word clearly states, insert the blank, but is it a sin to fill in the blank? Or perhaps we try to waffle our way out of what God's word has made clear by saying to ourselves and others, I know it's a sin to fill in the blank, but can I? But the answers that God gives to us when we try to weasel our way out of his commands are just as clear as what Jesus said when he condemned the question of the Pharisees about divorce. God might permit some evils in this world because of the hardness of our hearts right now. But that is not the way that God intended our world to operate. Or as our Lutheran study Bible so aptly stated when summarizing this passage, attempts to alter or get around God's good intentions bring condemnation, not greater liberty. Thoughtfully and prayerfully embrace God's ways. What he establishes is for our good and stems from his love and his grace. Are you curious about what I said to my student way back at the beginning of the sermon about the woman who, if I were married and if my wife were pregnant with 9 months and if she were about to give birth and we were 45 minutes from the hospital, is it permissible for me to speed? Are you curious about how I responded to that question? It's okay to nod your head. I thought about it for a minute, and I'll be honest, this is something that comes close to my heart because my second brother, was born in a car on the side of the road because my mother couldn't get to the hospital in time. And I thought about how best to answer the question, and I realized exactly what the student was trying to do. He was trying to get permission to sin. And I told him as such. I said, student, speeding is a sin against the fourth commandment. And they said, but what about? And I responded, speeding is a sin against the fourth commandment. And they said, but what about? And I said, speeding is a sin against the fourth commandment. And they said, but what about? And I responded one more time, speeding is a sin against the fourth commandment. If a husband has to take his wife to the hospital so that she can give birth to their child, he has to make a choice. Is he going to speed and break the fourth commandment? Or is he going to not speed and break his trust of his wife? It's a choice between sin and sin. So I basically told him this. God's word is clear. We are all sinners. We sin in many ways, and even our most righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God. Sometimes we try to justify our sinful behaviors as if they are right. But ultimately, God wants us to stand before him as sinners who are in need of the grace that we do not deserve. And that's when I reminded the students to look up Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, where Paul writes, "We know that whatever the law speaks, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, because from works of the law comes the knowledge of sin." We are all sinners. That is true. We sin in many ways. And we need more forgiveness than we even realize ourselves. Since we have sinned both by what we do, sins of commission, and by what we choose not to do, sins of omission. But God's grace extends to us in both circumstances. He forgives us through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's learn from what Jesus said. Let's not try to weasel our way out of sins. Let's stand condemned before Jesus and simply receive the grace that we do not deserve so much. And let us remember the words that we just sang a minute ago in our hymn of the day. Let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to his word, in suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain. Amen.